You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
This play used to be run with Henry Ruggs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
Job, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer.
Everybody, we are back. It's Tape Don't Lie, it's favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You know, coming off the heartbreaking loss. I guess you could call it heartbreaking. I don't know what you want to call it. I guess it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking loss. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say disappointing. Like the way you're talking about it in your voice just says it's perfectly disappointing.
Disappointing loss to the Raiders. You know, start to the Raiders, the Bengals. I mean, the Raiders did kind of beat themselves, so that makes sense. So, to the Bengals, you guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button, subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. Hit the, leave a comment if you want to leave a comment. And, if you got something to say, go ahead and leave a comment for yourself, too, as well. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at mholder95. No BD today, but at the Mark John NFL for me. Go ahead, check out manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Make sure you guys do that, and then go ahead, hit bonfire for the, the Raiders tape don't lie clothes. Get you some tape don't lie clothes. All right. So it was, it was just bad. It wasn't bad, but yeah, it was bad. But the Bengals it was a game. The Bengals weren't going to score a lot of points, and I knew they were going to do their explosiveness stuff, and they're going to have to play the red zone game. And then they played better in the red zone than the Raiders did. And I feel like that's kind of the game in the Raiders season. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just gonna say, I think what makes it more frustrating is I felt like the Raiders like red zone defense like wasn't even that bad today. Like they got the one touchdown, but then I ended up holding them to two field goals. Like I remember people talking about it. Like it felt like the Bengals were in more control of the first half than the scoreboard actually reflected, which was to me like the part of what the defense was doing and being able to hold them under the field goals and ended up being a one score game at half and at the end of the game with a big part of the defense. But it definitely felt like it was like the Raiders did all they could. They just kind of played a better team to me, to be honest with you. And beating themselves. They beat themselves too much too.
Like, they beat themselves. I think that team just had more talent than them for sure. I mean, like the Bates play kind of showed everything, that play right there. I think that was like the difference in the game, that play right there to me. Yeah. If Renfrow holds on to that ball, who knows how this game ends, even if they just get a field goal there and then they get another one or something, it's a different game, or you don't know how that game goes if Renfrow catches that pass. But that was a play by Jesse Bates, and that's talent. They got an elite safety over there who made an elite play, at an elite time. And then they had Ja'Marr Chase, was over 100 yards. They had an elite player who made elite plays, was catching everything. And yeah, there was a couple push offs. I don't know how that Desmond Trufant one didn't get called, but
I don't know. I felt like that one, if that one was like a Raiders receiver, like it was definitely questionable. It was definitely borderline, but I felt like that was more Trufant's momentum. He didn't get the full extension, but I mean, like you said, Ja'Marr Chase went for what? What was it? When we pulled the final line here, let's see. 9 for 116. I mean, like that at one point, like I think every time he touched the ball was a first down. I think end of the game, every time but two touched the ball, it was a first down. So, and I will give the Bengals a lot of credit. They adjusted from what the last time they did. I felt like the last game they did, like they tried to isolate him and try to keep him on the deep routes or even the deep overs. And then the Raiders bracket coverage was able to take over. This week, they were hitting him in the short to intermediate routes. They're letting him kind of do the thing or trying to get him the yards after the catch, but the Raiders actually did a decent job of tackling him. But when you hit a curl against cover three for 10 yards, there's not much you can do about it. And when you hit back shoulder throws that were like, again, we have to give credit, like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were on it tonight. They looked like two guys that have been playing together for, again, since, about the last two out of the last 3 years that they were on money. And that's how they've been all year. They've been hitting those back shoulder throws since Dryden. sometimes you just can't defend those. Sometimes you just get unlucky and you run into a team where, like we're talking about, that maybe the Bengals aren't that much better than the Raiders. Maybe the Raiders, you know, the gap's pretty close between the two. But when, again, you beat yourself, you get three holding penalties on one drive.
I know.
That's what happens when the gaps are already pretty small, and then you do stuff to hurt yourself, like you make it wider.
Yeah, and do trade and comments talking about Burrow and rhythm, which I talked about in the preview. If he's in rhythm, he's gonna tear you up. And they didn't get him out of rhythm all game, really. You know, you're expecting more from the D line this game, I thought. But I thought they had a plan where he's gonna stay in his three step drops and he's gonna get rid of the football quick. And you know, I showed him the preview. If he's in his three steps and he's hitting that, he hits that back foot and he can make a decision, it's on the money every single time. You got to get him off of that where he's trying to make plays, or he has to get off his first read. They really didn't make him go through his reads or anything like that. It was like he hit the back foot, bam, hit his back foot, bam, you know? So that has a lot to do with how he played too. You got to get him off his game. And if he's just doop, bam, he's in rhythm all game, he's going to tear you up. So, because he's going to hit those back shoulders perfectly if he's in rhythm. He's going to do everything that he needs to do and be accurate. You got to get him off of that. So,
yeah. I mean, round one of the time these two teams played, Yannick Ngakoue got the better of Jonah Williams. Jonah Williams got the better of Yannick Ngakoue this game. I don't even remember Yannick playing at all, really. I mean,
he didn't do a damn.
And I mean, if he's not getting after the passer, we already know he's not great against the run. So it's tough to be out there. And then it just felt like outside of Crosby, like even Crosby didn't have his greatest game, but Crosby was still at least getting pressure, getting sacks on the stunt. And I think Jefferson got another one on a stunt too. But outside of those two guys, like they didn't get any pressure. Missed Darius Filon. I think after Jefferson went out, like he kind of disappeared. I know he came back in the game, but I mean, obviously wasn't as good of a pass rusher as before. And like you said, you nailed it. Like, you got to get pressure on that guy. You got to find a way to get that guy off of his rhythm, and Raiders didn't. And they did it in the last game, which makes it almost more frustrating. So,
yeah, you know, like that's what it makes it more frustrating too, to me, is, you know, that they were able to get him out of rhythm and he was able to just pick them apart a little bit, you know.
They were still starting to back up right tackle this time.
You know, and Max did his thing, but like Max can't be the only one. You know what I mean? He can't be the only one getting pressure. They don't blitz. So if they're depending on the four and they don't blitz or anything, and I saw a couple creepers, a couple simulateds late in that game where they actually got off the field when they started doing those things, which, you know, this is today's NFL. You just can't sit back sometimes and, you know, play four unless you got an awesome defensive line. And if Yannick Ngakoue is not showing up, then it's going to be him in rhythm. But I still think the defense, I think the Bengals had to play a game they didn't like to play. And I think that's why the Raiders were still in that game, because they had to play a game they didn't like to play, right? It was just a red zone game. And, you know, had to go meticulously down the field. They didn't get a lot of explosive plays. And that's not what they want to do. So that was the interesting part of it. But, you know, I guess we can get to the offense now. Any last thoughts about
defense? I mean, kind of a lead into the offense. Like we're talking about all week, I felt like one of the biggest things was going to be able to slow the running game, which was one of the biggest parts or the biggest issues last game for them defensively. Did it this time around. I mean, I think Joe Mixon 17 of 20 for 48 for 2.8 a carry, 3.8 3.3 a carry for the team for the Bengals. And then the opposite was Raiders offense need to get the rushing game going, and they ended up doing that. Just ended up not being enough. I mean, Jacob's 6.4 carry. So
my big problem with the run game too, because I mean the run game was working, right? And then like on the possession when they kicked the field goal before they got the ball back to go down the field and get their chance, right? They didn't run the ball.
I was thinking of you when that happened too. I'm like, it was the same thing. Like they get in the red zone and all of a sudden they stop running the ball.
Like I'm like, what the hell? Like what are we doing? Like, and Josh Jacobs is hot. Like he's been playing well for like all game, you know what I mean? He's been playing well all game, and what are we doing? And then on the second play, he gets right to the 1 yard line, and then it's a hold, of course. But like, goddamn, like in the red zone, you gotta run the ball. Like this is not like a pass happy place, you know? It's tight. We don't have a guys that can separate like that, you know. Besides Hunter Renfrow, and then, you know, they were locking him up, so. If you ain't got nobody can separate in the red zone, you got to run the football. And, man, man. The whole last sequence too, like the last play call, man. I can't believe that he went to that.
I think we've seen our last day's game of Greg Olsen calling the plays.
You got to get rid of him, bro.
Yeah.
Even if no matter, they're not going to bring back Rich anyways, because I thought Rich kind of bucked the whole last sequence can kind of show they don't have a coach, because Carr spiking the ball, even though Drew Brees said he should have did that. Everybody said he should have, but Drew Brees was like, "Hey, yeah, do it." Drew Brees would have did it. So it's kind of weird to say that, but go ahead, Matt.
I was just saying, my problem with that is he checked at the line of scrimmage to spike the ball. I'm like, at least if like you're going to check at the line of scrimmage or whatever, and then like, get people set, like throw like a deep fade. Like that's probably not going to be complete, but at least you have a chance. Like,
yeah. You know, cause that's why I feel like Derek Carr is like he's the play caller. He's the coordinator, and you can't have that. You know, you can't have him trying to do all the game management and stuff by himself. You know what I mean? And trying to figure it out. You know, at the end of the game, they look in over their heads. You had coaches that were just in over their heads, and it didn't work out. And then, like, of course, a terrible play call. He called Hank, which I can't believe he called Hank. Man, I can't believe that.
Is Hank your verbiage for sticks? Is that like
sticks and Hank are tilted. So Hank is where you have two guys go out to the flat, which he had Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So the two best receivers on the team. Gotcha. Yeah.
And they go out to the flat, and then you have two curls in the middle.
Okay.
And that's
gotcha
for the game. You call that play.
And a curl a yard short of the goal line. So yeah, this is the one.
Zay didn't even go to the goal line. What was he doing? Why didn't Zay go all the way to the goal line? He should have went deep in there.
This was a perfect, this is just like Zay Jones in a nutshell. Like, great game. Like, Zay Jones, But again, came out, balled out, I thought, again. Like, I think he ended up being, he's the second leading receiver on the team. Had a good game, good plays, and then the little thing of, just getting a yard deeper. I mean, who knows, maybe Jermaine Pratt picks that ball off anyway, but yeah, like you're talking about, like,
it's because Bryant Edwards was 5 yards deep in the end zone. So Bryant Edwards actually was like, hey, we need a touchdown. Zay stops at the, what are you, because that's where Jermaine Pratt was able to step right in front of it. Because he stopped in front of the end zone, and then he jumped right in front of it. And, maybe if he went deeper, maybe it would have forced Carr to try to make a play. But, the quick hitch, allowed him to try to force that ball in there. But
even at that, and I don't mean to pile on Carr, I feel like we kind of been, shitting on him a little bit for the two-minute drill in this right now. But, Zay Jones was not open that play.
Yeah.
Why is Zay Jones? I mean, I guess if your two best receivers are out running flat routes short of the goal line, that's you got to throw the ball to Zay Jones. But it's like, why is that guy getting his number called in this situation?
Yeah, exactly. Because the situation is with the play call, right? If it isn't the play call, and I don't love blaming Zay, dog, he ran short of the end zone. I don't care what you guys say. Don't run short of the end zone. So, but even if that play call, you call two flats, right? And then you have the curls, nothing's there. Like, what the hell are you? Like, what scramble drill do you even do at that point? There's no scramble drill. Like, the play is dead. Like, you have to call, call four verts or something, or I don't know. You just have to call something that has, a scramble drill built in. Because
you call
– yeah.
I was just going to say, I feel like you call a play where maybe one guy is short of the sticks. Maybe one. You know what I mean? And not two – again, your two best receivers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you maybe call, something where you, have – motion down the field and have a shallow crosser as a check down, nothing else is open. Like, let's just give this a chance. But having two guys, your two best receivers short of the sticks and a fourth and goal in the fucking playoffs.
In the playoffs.
To win the game. But
Matt, you got to think about this. This is the goal line. You're a play caller, right? You have all these plays. You got like 300. This is the NFL. You got 500 plays. You got called in, and you pull up the 1976. That's why I posted. This is a Bill Walsh play. Hank is from Bill Walsh in the 80s. This is what Joe Montana used to run with Freddie Solomon and Dwight Clark. And that's the play. With the game,
they were talking about how for each team it's been since the 1930s or whatever, since they won a playoff game. So maybe they're just turning back the clock. They're just you know what? We got to move backward to move forward in this game.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But I do want to go back to the original red zone before that. I think that was big where they didn't run the football. They got to run the ball there. Try to get Josh Jacobs going. He's having a good game. He's playing behind his pads. He can't play any better than he's playing right now. And I feel like they didn't get him involved enough. You know, and that's because within the OC, he's pass heavy, Mr. Aggressive, and wants to take everybody's head off, you know, so.
Was that the one where you talked about where he had like the, he brought it to the one and then they had another holding call? Was that the same one?
That was a second down though. But that's you run a first down too.
Keep running it. Yeah. And I mean, that's what makes it more frustrating is like I see what you're saying, but I also see the logic of like, well, we've been called for two holding penalties already on this drive. And now we're in second goal. We might as well try and cut it in half if we run it. You know what I mean? It's frustrating again because Raiders shot themselves in the foot and when they can't. I mean, I hate to bring it up, and I hate to pile on this guy because I've been piling on him all year. But Alex Leatherwood,
he was awful.
Like when he wasn't getting called for holding, he was getting beat. So
couldn't pick up a stunt. They still can't pick up a stunt. It's week 19. Can't pick up a stunt still.
The thing I don't understand about him is like he was good at that like in college, and he was good at that in the beginning of the year, and then like in the last like few weeks, he just forgot how to pick up stunts. I hope it is Tom Cable, but it is just frustrating.
I feel like it is.
It's a new issue.
He's gonna get a little bit of a mulligan from me because I think Tom Cable is just terrible. And I was looking up trying to see who the next coach is this week, and I was trying to see who's connected to like Rich Bisaccia and stuff. And I was looking up, you know, John Gruden. John Gruden has no connection to Tom Cable. Like, where do you even find him from? Is it like, does nobody want to coach with John? I kind of feel like this is how this team and coaching staff was built, because he literally has no connection to him. He's never coached under him. Where did he meet him? Paul Gunther too. Where did he find Paul Gunther? Like, where did he meet these guys? They never coached under him, and we have all this crappy coaching staff that he's built. Like, he must have rubbed some people the wrong way, John Gruden.
Well, I think he could be onto something with the Cable, like nobody else wanting to work underneath him Gruden, because I mean, Gruden's going to call the shots, he's going to call the plays, he's going to run his offense. So like, if you're an up and coming coach who's like, I'm trying to make a name for myself, I'm trying to become an offensive coordinator, head coach, I'm not going to work for the guy that's going to get all the credit when the offense does well. You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah,
that's going to be doing such a control freak. So I mean, that could be something. I mean, Tom Cable, it is a tough one, but I feel like Tom Cable did have some wins. Colton Miller's going to be a big win for Tom Cable.
Yeah, but
that's the problem. But yeah, well, I mean,
because Colton Miller actually better than he should be? That's how I think with Tom Cable. Like,
yeah,
maybe Colton Miller actually is like a dog, and he really is an all pro, and we just need to bring in like Aaron Cromer or something like that, come and get this line to play like it. Because, you know,
I feel like we'll see. Because I don't know. I mean, obviously, neither one of us, I think, really have any inside sources or anything. But yeah, is the coaching staff gone? I mean, that's the elephant in the room right now.
They have to be, right? They have to be.
I would think. I get the feeling that like it's going to be Harbaugh, and then obviously, you know, from there, you will see how the dominoes fall. Maybe he keeps Bisaccia around as like a special teams coach. But yeah, I get the feeling we're going to get news the next day or two. Probably Bisaccia's out, which is going to mean Bradley's probably out and everybody else is going to be canned. The new guy's going to want to pick his own staff. So
yeah, we'll
see what happens.
I thought the most interesting part of today was the car report that came out before, because it wasn't like a car once they want to leave for car report. It was a mutual, which is a new word that we haven't heard in the past 4 years of these car rumors, was mutual. That's a new word.
Mutual. Well, I just saw the headline. I didn't read the article. So what was it?
Basically, it said that if they hire Dabo Sweeney, the car is going to ask for a trade. That's basically what it said.
So basically, Carr wants to pick the next coach.
Yeah, basically. That's what it said. And it sounded like the Raiders want to go that direction. Adam Schefter, before that report came out, which made it even more interesting, Adam Schefter that morning, he reported that the Raiders wanted to keep Carr, right? And then like 20 minutes later, here comes Ian Rappaport with the mutual thing. So that's going to be interesting, because I think they want to keep Carr, but I don't know what Carr wants to do at this point. I think he might be
He said he's going to be a Raider forever, right? In the offseason. I mean, I will say this. I will say this about that comment. I think it's a lot easier to say that in like July.
In July. Than
with all the shit that's happened this last year.
Your coach like, gets fired like, for emails and somebody.
I would not blame him to be like, like 6 months ago, before my head coach got fired, my star wide receiver, got a DUI and or got in a car accident, killed somebody, and then my other first round pick in that draft class got released and all this crazy crap that's gone on in the last year. Like, yeah, things have changed a little bit, but I that is interesting to me. If it is like,
yeah, the mutual,
how much say he's going to be having
like, mutual. Like, that's weird. That's new. Like, and people try to play it down. Like, oh, we heard this before. We haven't heard mutual.
We haven't heard we haven't heard this. I don't think we've had a off season where there's been like a coach and like a car discussion at the same time.
No, I mean, not since that was at 2017, but because it'll be interesting who they hire. Because I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that could come in and just and put in the same exact system. Because like everybody runs this Gruden-esque Sean McVay offense. So like, there's no
everyone in the pros does that.
Yes, that's true. So
because I was going to ask you, did that article specifically name Dabo Sweeney, or are you just like putting too much?
No, I'm just putting whatever some crazy coach out there that could and be like, what the.
Because I feel like part of it, like the Raiders not being as active, like I feel like maybe they're going to get us, like if they are going to make a move at coaching staff, which I think we're all in agreement, or at least us are in agreement at this point, like it's going to happen. I wonder if it's going to come from the college ranks.
Yeah. I mean, if it came from the college ranks, it just better be Harbaugh, because at least as long as it's not Dabo, like, what does Dabo Sweeney do? Does he have like a scheme? Like, what does he do? he's a motivator.
He's a good motivator, but I feel he's a recruiter. That is true. Like what Dabo was, I don't even remember. It's been so long now. What was he? Was he like an OC at?
No, he was a wide receiver coach, bro. He's never been a coordinator or nothing.
He's never even been a coordinator. Gotcha. Mm-mm. Yeah,
he's a recruiter. He was the top recruiter for Clemson. Then he got a receiver coach, and they hired him. And he can recruit. That's what he could do.
Gotcha.
He brings in the T. Higgins and
he lost his. Did he lose his OC? I know Venables left for Oklahoma, but did he lose his OC this year too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he lost both coordinators. Well, this if he doesn't get an NFL job, this will be a big year.
Come here, for, please, God.
This will be a big year. For Dabo.
Anybody else? Anybody else? It depends. But, it depends. But I just know Dabo. Because that's what I'm talking about. There's, like, the Nathaniel Hacketts out there, which is not sexy to Raiders fans, but he runs the same offense, and he comes from Green Bay, right? And mm-hmm. Or there's even, like, this is going to sound, interesting, but there's Brian Callahan from the Bengals. There's those type of guys. I mean, there's Brian Flores, which I see in the name. But if they bring Brian Flores, then we have to go get, like, 8 corners. Like immediately, like they have to draft like Sauce Gardner. Like you have to make sure you get Sauce Gardner, because he's the best man.
Trade up for Stingley,
Stingley or something.
Yeah,
get him and Sauce, right? Because that's the only way you're going to play that cover zero. I mean, we don't have any cover zero guys right now. So
yeah, that'd be a wild schematic change to go from Gus Bradley to Brian Flores. Like, talk about polar opposites of each other.
Yeah, they would have. They literally would just have to go get corners. They would have to like find every single like good man corner that there is in the draft and free agency, like Stephon Gilmore or something. They have to find a way to get him over there. If they get up to that, because if you don't, then it's going to be the 2019 Dolphins where you're just like watching everybody get burned and
just get roasted.
Lamar Jackson's throwing 5 touchdowns week one. So I don't know.
Well.
I don't know. Any coaches that you think of, Matt? Because I don't know.
Honestly, the biggest guy, the guy that I've kind of wanted for a while, was going to be Doug Peterson, but I don't think that's going to happen. Doesn't seem like it's going to be. I don't even think Doug Peterson's gotten any steam anywhere at this point, which is kind of surprising to me. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl, 3 years ago? Kind of got a raw deal at the end there, I felt like, by Philly. Made the playoffs, 3 out of 5 years? They were a good team under Doug Peterson. Plus, get somebody with some insight into Andy Reid's offense, which I feel like can help. Obviously, Raiders struggle to figure that one out over the last few years. So that's kind of been my guy. Who I think it'll end up being is, I get the feeling it's probably going to be Harbaugh. I'm excited about that because it's like I look back at Harbaugh's record and like think about how much he won in San Francisco and being like, and that like gets the juices flowing a little bit. Like I feel like he's a good coach, but then I also like think back to like he literally said when he left the Niners, he's like, I felt like my coaching style is more suited for college, and my message kind of runs dry after you know 3 or 4 years. And I think back to the end of his tenure with the Niners, even though they were 8-8 and you know not a bad team by any means. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty. It felt like he was kind of losing the locker room a little bit to use the old cliche, but I would be fine with either of those two guys, Harbaugh or Doug Peterson. But I'm with you that Dabo Swinney would scare me, but maybe not quite as much as you. I feel like Dabo can at least be like at least be different than like an Urban Meyer, where he'll be like less of a dick. To just put it point blank, I feel like Dabo is like a better person than Urban Meyer is, which is not saying much, but at least like from that end of things, like things can be taken care of. Like I think he'd treat people right, which I think is kind of like half the job as being a head coach in the NFL. So okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who's your guy though?
My guy. I don't know, man. It's tough. I mean, I wouldn't mind Harbaugh. I want to know his staff. I'm not Scott. I saw Scott Turner. True. I was not excited about that. If he brings in Scott Turner, I'm not excited. I'm not excited about Scott Turner at all. You know, that wouldn't excite me.
But I would be excited if he brings Vic Fangio.
Of course. That is who would be special is bringing him in, and or anybody who's connected to him that would bring him in.
If Harbaugh could land Vic Fangio, I really wouldn't care who his OC is, just because I feel like part of it is like Harbaugh, he's not the same extent as Gruden, but it's still going to be a Harbaugh offense. You know what I mean? Like Harbaugh, it's still Harbaugh's thing.
Yeah.
At the very least. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And the one thing I like about Harbaugh is that, you know, with a defensive game plan, he's going to be the type of guy that actually be part of it. Like he wouldn't just like, oh, you do the offense, you do the defense. I'm just going to sit back, since he's going to be involved. That's why I kind of like hiring somebody like him, because he'll be involved in both game plans. And it's just not going to be him just like trying to, you know, do like what Gruden is like, you got the defense, I got the offense, I don't care what you do over there, you handle it. Yeah. Like he said, nothing, you know, Harbaugh's going to try to help the game plan. You know, just like Belichick comes up with the offensive game plan too. He just doesn't do defense. He does both. So,
I mean, Harbaugh literally practices with his team. Like there's reports of him playing like scout team quarterback. So, I mean, that should tell you how hands-on this guy is.
Yeah.
He'll be out there with his shirt off, his cleats on, like in his dickies, like just out there dropping dimes on people.
I think it's going to be somebody that we aren't thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Like, we all say it's Harbaugh, you know, one guy that is, you know, it's hard to piss me off when I say this, but I saw him on I Am Athlete, and it was Marvin Lewis, and he was like talking all this stuff. And that's somebody like, if some advisor would be like, well, get you a coach that is already been there and done this. And, you know, so I think there might be a wild card, somebody weird like that, you know, but I mean, he was saying some decent stuff about, you know, how the game's changing. You need a more mobile quarterback and all this other stuff that he was saying. So, but who knows, because I saw somebody mention Mike McDaniel from the Niners, which I would not mind at all. I would actually like that.
That's the OC, right? That's the dude that's been like, that's getting popular, nerdy looking dude,
kind of popular. He was talking about at QB Collective, he had a good quote about QB. You saw that clip? Yeah, about like
regression. Yeah, I saw what you're talking about. Yeah, he seems like a smart dude. I don't know if it's the glasses or what, he just gives me Mark Trestman vibes.
Yeah,
he where does. It's like I'm like, like, I know this guy's a bright offensive mind. Is he a great head coach, though? And again, I think it's probably me just judging him from his looks, but like, that would be my biggest question mark. Be like, bro, can you get contacts or something? Like, you're giving me way too many vibes.
Do they take him serious?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because like, I don't know how much I would take him serious. He's coaching me. Like, sure, man. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, man. Anything else? I think we're good, man.
That's all I got, man.
All right, guys. So it's been a long season. You already know me and Matt. We're headed to the Senior Bowl, man. We will be. We'll be there live. We'll be hanging out there, looking at the linemen. We're gonna be watching the linemen here, guys. watching some linemen, maybe some corners. We're going to watch some corners, depending on who we hire. You know, we might be watching, you know, if they hire Brian Flores, I'm definitely watching corners.
Yeah.
You know, or something. But I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to heading down to Mobile. I'm sure we'll be on live, drop a few podcasts or whatnot on the channel and everything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, drop us some names, tweet some names at me of guys that you want us to keep tabs on. Go ahead, look at the Senior Bowl roster. Obviously, you know, offensive and defensive line, especially on the interior, is going to be kind of our focus. Been watching a couple guys, Darian Kennard out of Kentucky, like him a lot. Kind of some tackle guard versatility. Been watching Zion Johnson, not as impressed, but you know, another guy. Some of those guys that with some versatility. So
I'm about to get into it, Matt. I'm ready now. I'm a week late. I feel like I'm late into the draft, but hey,
I feel so far behind.
Me too, bro. So far behind. But yeah, I guess it's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
But the Raiders look like they're gonna pick 22.
Something like that. Mid-20s, something like that with the playoff teams.
All right. Last question, Matt, before we get out of here. We're at 30 minutes. Would you trade up at this point? Do you think the Raiders should be in that position, or should do they have to wait at 22 and kind of just wait it out since they overachieved with not that talented a team?
I'm anti-trade up almost anything except for a quarterback. I'm very anti-trade up just in general. And I think this year too, I think with the corner class that is coming in, there's a lot of guys that are like studs, like Ahmad Gardner. I think we talked about him. He's like the fifth rated corner right this year. And he's a damn good player. He's 6'2", can run with long arms. Like, so I think with fulfilling that need, I think they'll be all right if they want to go that route at 22, just with the depth of the class. And then the other need is, you know, I guess if they are going to get a right tackle, okay, maybe you go up and consider it. But if you're going to looking for a defensive tackle or a interior offensive lineman, I think 22, you should be fine where you're at. You're not going to probably get a guy like Tyler Lindenbaum or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think with where they're at, 22, and with the value that you get and having to push so many dominoes into the table into one pick, like, you know, obviously you're going to have to give up more picks to move up. I'm just very – let's just keep it status quo, stay where you're at, and – you know, let the board fly, like Mayock said in his first draft a few years ago, and ended up landing him Jacobs, who has been the MVP for the last 4 weeks. So,
yeah, I see some people, you know, my dude Trey, he's a little Georgia, mentioning Jordan Davis. He's big.
Jordan Davis is, I mean, he's huge, and like, I think a lot of teams will probably fall in love with that size, but he's another guy that I think can still be there at 22 with, his lack of pass rush. I mean, I'd like to see him be a little bit better, but at 360, I hope I can have a defensive line coach that I can teach that guy how to bull rush at some point. And I mean, he'll fill a need for the Raiders that can stop the run. So I want to dive in more into Jordan Davis, but I am very intrigued by a dude that's 6'6", 360, and can eat space in the middle.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys listening. I mean, it's fun end of the season. You know, we remember the Chiefs game. we all thought it was over. We never thought we would get here. So
remember the Chiefs game. This season is still a win. This season is still very much a win.
It is a win. This team should not have been in the playoffs. Let's say that, guys. I don't know how the hell they got here. I don't know how the hell they were down by one touchdown with a drive to go. So, you know, that was the whole season, you know, and the penalties and everything just caught up the red zone. Hopefully we get a better red zone play caller for once, finally. It's been 4 years with bad red zone play calling. And so hopefully we can get that going. Let's find some guy. All right. We're out, guys. Appreciate it. You know we're going to get the draft. We'll be back with the review. Peace out, guys.
See you guys.